afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. So glad you tuned in, and a very happy Thursday to you. We have got an interesting and a powerful show for you today. So for this first hour, we're going to talk about how to connect the dots of the choices that our ancestors have made to the choices that we make today. Just think about it for a minute. Have you noticed maybe a certain pattern in your generational family line? Are there patterns of behavior, patterns of thought? There are, actually. Have you noticed that certain sins still run rampant in your family? Maybe certain tendencies that you wish weren't there? Or maybe you were blessed with a legacy of strong, unwavering faith. Either way, we've inherited some things from those who've gone before us. And my guest today is Linda Godsey, and she's going to help us connect the dots of the past to the challenges of the present as we unpack her book, Origins, How the Choices of Your Ancestors Affect You Today. We'll get her on in a moment. Also want you to know we're trying something brand new. This is one of the things I do love about my bosses. They let me be a visionary. They let me try new things. And one of the new things we're trying, in fact, I will tell you some of the new things we've tried in the past that have stuck are health and healing with Dr. Troy. We do that every month. We take your questions. Absolutely amazing. Bible Answers with Dr. Ron Rhodes. That's been fantastic. Redemption Stories with Liz Curtis Higgs. Well, here's a new one, and we'll just see if it sticks and if it works. It's like throwing a noodle to the wall. What it is, it's called Talk to Me Thursday. So from here on in, that second hour, Talk to Me Thursday is you're the guest. You're going to tell me what's on your heart. I'll establish a theme, but if you want to change the theme, you sure can do that when you call in. But what we're going to talk about second hour is fear. What are you afraid of? What keeps you up at night? And I'm praying and hoping for your calls. I've got some audio clips and some songs to play and looking forward to that conversation. Another quick announcement just to let you know, our Faith Radio app is really making the rounds around the world, and we would love for you to download that thing on your smartphone as well. If you're traveling, especially this season, take us with you. We'd love to go with you on your trip. You can listen to the live show or you can catch the podcast after the fact. The Faith Radio app is free. It's available in the Apple App Store or in Google Play. All right, so my guest today writes this. Can you think of a trait in your family of origin that you dislike? Or on the flip side, are there characteristics you really appreciate about your family? Chances are you can identify both good and bad qualities in your family line. Most families have traits to be admired and desired, along with some we would like to sweep under the rug, never to be remembered again. Let me tell you about my guest. We'll get her on the show. Linda Godsey is freedom pastor, speaker, author, and consultant to churches and organizations. She spent over 30 years in freedom ministry, building freedom teams, speaking at freedom conferences and events for churches and consulting. She served for 10 years as a freedom pastor at Gateway Church in Southlake, Texas. We've had her pastor, Robert Morris, on the show plenty of times. She's done numerous radio interviews and even appeared on Life Today with James and Betty. Love them. And we've had James on the show plenty of times. All right, Linda, welcome to the program. Glad to have you.
Oh, thank you, Susie. It's so good to be here.
Looking forward to this conversation, Linda. And we love to start our conversations talking scripture, and you actually chose one of my go-to passages. I love this, Psalm 118:5. In my anguish, I cried out to the Lord. Another translation, I cried out to the Lord in my distress, but he answered me by setting me free. Talk about that passage and what it means to you.
Oh, that's a great passage, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I can't count how many times in my own personal life that I've cried out to the Lord and he set me free. I can't imagine life without the Lord, and I've had the privilege of leading many people into freedom through the years, and it's my heartbeat, to tell you the truth. I just can't imagine doing anything else, whether it's to individuals or helping churches and getting churches free as well, just to become all they were created to be and experience their destiny in Christ. And until we experience freedom in our personal lives, that's not going to happen. So it's exciting to have the opportunity to lead people into freedom.
Beautiful. Well, love a little a backstory for you, how you came to Christ and when really freedom became kind of your song. I'd love to know.
Okay, well, I came to Christ when I was 9 years old, but and I definitely was in church every time the doors were opened, but I went through a season in my life where I wasn't very close to the Lord, but when I came back with a bang and was filled with the Holy Spirit, and we immediately, shortly after that, moved to California, where we served with Pastor Jack Hayford at the Church on the Way for many years, about 17 years. And during that time, that's where we were introduced to the subject of freedom. And I had no idea how I wasn't free until we went there. And I began to experience a lot of fear and And he helped to lead us in understanding that me in particular, that I was really bound with fear. And the Lord just took me through years of just kind of stripping away all the levels of fear. A lot of that was just manifested in plain old worry. Our family bought into a lie that if we didn't worry, we didn't care. And that's huge, because then you worry about everything and you don't trust God with anything. So that area, Jesus needed to become the Lord of my life in order that I could begin to rest, enter into a season of rest where I was at peace with the Lord and peace with my life. And my husband would have told you, he died in 2006, but he would have told you when he was alive that I was not the same person after I experienced just the freedom from fear.
Wow. Amazing, Linda. I seem to remember a story in the book of a Thanksgiving day when your hubby wanted to watch the game and you're sitting at the table and the game seemed to kind of upstage even the Thanksgiving prayer and conversation, and you kind of blew a gasket and you guys had an argument over it. And then you went to Pastor Jack to talk about it, and he identified like a pain for you that actually stemmed from your childhood. And this is kind of what we're talking about today. Yeah. So talk about that conversation and kind of what a light bulb moment it was for you.
Oh, well, that was a completely different kind of freedom. I've had so much freedom. I've always said I've been in that chair more than anybody I know. That's why I do what I do. But yes, I remember going to Pastor Jack because I so trusted him, and he, of course, he was our pastor, and you know, he just helped me to understand that it was a father wound that was causing me to have issues with my husband. It was all over sports, because my father had been a sports nut when I was growing up, and he was always on the sports field. He was either playing the sports or he was being the coach or manager of a baseball team or something, you know, and they were doing World Series in Mexico. I mean, he was always gone. And so I just remember wishing I was a boy and feeling rejection about sports. And that wound went into my marriage with me. And so when my husband took this real liking to football and it even absorbed the Thanksgiving day, I just went bananas, really. It was just more than I could handle it, because that equaled rejection to me, even though it really wasn't rejection at all. It was just his love of the game. But that's the way I interpreted it. And Pastor Jack was so good to point that out. But the thing I remember the most was him saying to me, he said, "Linda, I find it really ironic that the day that you came and met with me happened to be Super Bowl Sunday."
Wow.
He said, "Isn't that amazing?" And he said, "I just hear the Lord saying that, Linda, you know, I have time for you. I made time for you on the number one sports day of the year." And I remember just weeping, hot, as he shared that. And I felt the love of God in that place for the first time and really was free from rejection.
Wow, it's amazing. So talk more about the case for our origins and this ancestral, the things that have been passed down through the generations. Because I'm thinking of somebody as we dig into this conversation listening going, "But I'm covered by the blood of Jesus. The past is cut off from me. I'm a new creature in Christ." And all those things are biblical truths. So explain and make the case for the idea that our generations past impact us today.
Okay, I'd love to do that. Well, I think the whole thing is understanding that the Lord wants to bless us. You know, the Deuteronomy 28 lays out blessings and curses. And I like to clarify, too, that when I say curse, I don't like that word because it has kind of a negative connotation, which it is really. But that's really nothing more than a consequence. It's just a living out of a consequence of something that's happened, choices that have been made. But there's no question that our family genes or our DNA influences our life, because that's the way we grew up. But it doesn't have to determine our destiny, and we're not our family. We're not our mother. We're not our father. And our genes don't have to control our emotions and behaviors, even though they definitely do factor into the equation. But I like to say that the way that DNA affects our life, it's the way we learn to think and process life. The belief systems that we learned growing up in the homes where we were raised, and or maybe the schools we attended, churches we attended. Also, we learn to respond or react to situations or circumstances as they happened in our lives. And it also influenced the habits we developed, the life patterns that we formed, whether they were good or bad. And hopefully they were good, but sometimes we all, you know, we get a few bad ones too. The way we learn to see ourselves, we learned that from our family. They were the mirrors that we looked into to tell us who we are. And so sometimes those mirrors need to be adjusted. And because what parents said or maybe influences in our life, isn't that's not what God's saying about us. Also, we had a lot of times learned different kind of struggles with temptations according to the families we grew up in. Because a lot of times families are given to, you know, alcoholism or all different kinds of bondages. And whenever that happens, you know, that can determine some of our future choices, because that's what we saw. You know, a lot of times people will say, well, this is just our family. This is who we are. And but it's really not who we are. It's just what we learned. And those things can be unlearned. It became our truth. And God wants to replace the lies with truth in our lives in those places where we didn't necessarily learn the right things that were in accordance with his word. I want to address what you just said too, Susie, if I have time here. One of the things you said, the questions people ask, and I usually whenever I teach this class, I always start with this at the very beginning. People will say, am I responsible for the sins of my parents? And we know that each person is responsible for their own sin. It tells us that in Deuteronomy and Jeremiah. And then people will say, well, why do I need to deal with this? Didn't Jesus take my sin and iniquity on the cross? And they'll say, didn't his blood cover it all? I thought he became a curse for us. And the answer is yes, yes, and yes to all of those. But it has to be appropriated and received. Just as salvation is available through faith and healing for our body by faith, we have to receive it. Freedom is ours, but we must receive it. And so I heard somebody say one time that what Jesus has provided by grace, we must receive by faith. So I think that's all we're really saying here. And a lot of times when we disagree on some of these terms, it really is that. It's just the terms, terminologies we're using.
Yeah, so good. Beth Moore, you quoted her in her book, and she, in your book, she said, between every unfaithful generation and faithful generation is one person determined to change. Wish so bad you could hear my pastor's story. I think it was his grandpa who was a first-generation Christian and had every reason not to turn to Christ and sacrificially turned to Christ. And now he's got a son and his grandson who are these powerful pastors. When we come back, we're going to talk more about the idea that these things, even thought patterns, affect us in our cells. It just does. And certain predispositions are handed down. So it really does matter what's come before us and what we do with what we've been given. Talking to Linda Godsey, the title of her book is Origins, How the Choices of Your Ancestors Affect You Today. We've got three copies. If you want to get in on the drawing, you've got a question, you email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Don't forget your mailing address. So your mailing address puts you in on the drawing. If you've got a question, I'll try to ask it if I see that in your email. Don't go away. We'll be back in a minute. Love that. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Of the Promise. Talking to Linda Godsey. She's author of the book Origins, How the Choices of Your Ancestors Affect You Today. We've got three copies of that book. Email me if you want in on the drawing, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Susie with an S. Don't forget your mailing address. And if you've got a question for Linda, include that in your email as well. Linda writes this, the spiritual impact of our thoughts, choices, decisions, and actions is transmitted to successive generations. We can inherit a propensity to certain sins and weaknesses, and once we act upon them, they have an evil impact on our lives. These sins and weaknesses can also potentially have a negative impact on our children and our grandchildren. Linda, explain that dynamic and how that plays out. I know you see it over and over again in your ministry.
Well, there's our spiritual genetics are transferred, are transmitted to our children. Sometimes it's through our genes, our physical conditions. You know, when we go to the doctor's office, a lot of times, almost always, they'll say, tell us, you know, what kind of diseases your parents have had, your grandparents have had. And so we sit down and we make all these lists. And that also incorporates your personality, your behavioral tendencies. In other words, the way you spend money, the priority you give to work or play or entertainment. For instance, you know, I think a really great example is a father can be an alcoholic, and his son may not have a problem with alcohol, but he may be a workaholic. So you see a different symptom there, but that same heart issue or condition is the same. It's a place where they're trying to fill something, a need or a void that only God can fill. So I think that that's one of the ways. It's just through our genes, through physical conditions and just a lot of our mannerisms and so forth. And the second way they flow down is through example, by just simply repeating what we've seen lived out before us. I know that sometimes we go to family reunions and we start to see traits and characteristics in some of our relatives. In fact, I know people that won't go to family reunions, but because they say, I just don't do family reunions. But we can really learn about ourselves just going to a family reunion and see how these life patterns are acted out in families. The third way that things flow down to us is spiritually, just through the law of sowing and reaping. Galatians 6, 7, and 8 says, whatever we sow, we'll reap. I love what the message says. It says, what a person plants, they will harvest. So just as we see the law of gravity working, we do reap what we sow. Spiritually, it's a spiritual principle. And lastly, it comes down through demonic oppression. In families, it can be due to involvement in the occult. It's amazing how many families have been involved in the occult and they don't realize the things that their families are facing because of just the demonic influence of that occult involvement. Maybe false religions or secret organizations, especially like satanic cults where, you know, like different kinds of demonic oaths have been spoken. And also it can be just simple rebellion toward God. Because, you know, Proverbs 26:2 tells us that a curse without cause cannot alight or it cannot land. And that simply means that if there's a curse or a consequence in action or in working in our lives, that it means there's a reason. A door's been opened or there's been a legal right granted. It's what I like to address the whole subject of legal rights, because there has to be a legal right there or the enemy can't do that. So permission's been given, and that can happen through trauma when we're little, through generational things that are passed down to us, and just being in agreement with the enemy. It allows him to work in our lives. So our spiritual genetics do transmit to that next generation. And, you know, I was thinking of a story about a man that came into our office one time, and he had a terrible pornography addiction. And he said to us, he said, you know, I only watch pornography after my son goes to bed at night. And I thought, oh my gosh, that's such wrong thinking, because this man is opening the door and giving a legal right to a spirit of perversion in the life of his family, in the life of that little boy. So I think it's important that we consider how much what we do affects the next generation.
And you know, there's a story from years ago of a pastor who was privately living a double life in that regard and several other things that no pastor should be doing. And during that time, that was undercover, so to speak, but a number of the boys in the youth group had this insatiable temptation towards pornography. And when it blew open, it was like truly they were saying there was, because he was in a place of authority and that's supposed to be a watchman on the wall place, he literally opened the door. It's like the enemy got right by him and then could get to the young men in the church. And, you know, that should put the fear of God in all of us, because we all have a sphere of influence and, you know, the enemy is a legalist, you know?
Yes. That's so true.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say 1 Peter 1:18 says that we're redeemed from the futility of the manner of life handed down from our fathers.
Well, even you quoted a brain researcher, Dr. Caroline Leaf, as stating that even science has shown that thought networks pass through the sperm and the ova via DNA to the next four generations. I want to hear that again, that thought networks pass down via the DNA over four generations. And Linda, we've been talking on the show regularly how our thought patterns actually, and even our unredeemed emotions, where we don't do something with them, they affect us on a physiological, cellular level. That's a scientific fact, even apart from faith. But it really does speak to the idea that we are mind, body, and spirit. We're very, very much connected.
Mm-hmm. We are. Absolutely. And so much of what we determine when we see people getting free is identifying the lies that they believed. And so many of these lies in fact, most of them, the major ones that are like those core lies that we believed and we built a life around, so many of those go back to early, early childhood. And they're things that only the Holy Spirit can reveal. Mm. And as he, sheds light, we can apply the truth of the God's word to those lies. And then we are responsible to teach our heart to believe what those the truths are compared to the lies, and they do set us free. How many times have little children had words spoken over them? You're no good. You'll never amount to anything. And my grandson is a great example. He had a teacher speak over him once. And, of course, again, any authority in our life that has spoken over us is just so significant. But a teacher said to him, she told him he was an idiot because he couldn't answer a question. And she kept him sitting in the seat and said, well, I'm going to keep all of the children from going to lunch and out to recess until you answer that question.
Wow.
He told her, he said, I don't know the answer to that question. She says, then you're an idiot.
Wow.
Okay, so fast forward about 18 years to this young man that had no motivation to do anything in his life. And it went back to that lie in fourth grade when that teacher, and the Holy Spirit brought it to his mind. He completely forgot about it. In fact, I had the privilege of leading him through that exercise. I remember him, he looked up at me and he goes, oh my gosh, I totally forgot about that. And he started to share what this teacher had said, and that he had built a life around thinking he's an idiot. So he's defeated at everything he starts to do. And the Lord began to shatter that. And I told him, I said, ask the Lord what he wants to say to you about how smart you are. And he put his little head down, and then he looked up, and he goes, oh, my goodness. And he had this grin on his face, and he said, the Lord just told me I have his mind.
Mm, wow, the mind of Christ. How many people are building a life around the lie, something spoken over them? In fact, maybe you're listening today and you were made to feel not smart and not productive. You're a have-not or a second rate, and you're building your whole life around that lie. What if God sets you free today? You have the mind of Christ, the Spirit of the living God in you. Talking to Linda Godsey, title of her book is Origins. When we come back, a good friend is going to be calling in, Pastor Jeff Kerr. He's got an amazing story of a spiritual legacy handed down just to encourage you today, right? I want you to email me if you want in on the drawing, Susie@myfaithradio.com, and we will be back in a minute. Glad you tuned in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. My guest today is Linda Godsey. Title of her book is Origins, How the Choices of Your Ancestors Affect You Today. And maybe you've never thought of this before, but maybe coming down through your family line is gluttony and obesity and just overindulgence on food, or more like on the other extreme, just an extreme obsession with appearance and looking perfect. That can be sinful because it becomes an idol to appear a certain way and have to impress everybody all the time. Maybe it's workaholism or alcoholism, whatever. But the idea is that things and tendencies get passed down through the generations. Well, on the flip side, so does a legacy of faith. And on the phone with us right now is Pastor Jeff Kerr. And I just love he and his wife, Christy. They're just precious friends of ours. Christy has served as the producer on my last three DVDs that have gone with my last three books. They've planted a church, Homestead Church, in the Twin Cities. He's an amazing musician in his own right. But both Christy and Jeff have a legacy of faith. And Jeff just has an amazing story to tell. Hey, Jeff, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Susie, for having me. It's great to be with you.
Yeah, I think we've had you on before, so good to have you back, sir. So talk to us about just the legacy of faith, where you've come from and who's come before you.
Well, I've enjoyed listening to the broadcast up to this point, and I have loved hearing the perspective of what an impact for good or for not good that the generations before us can lay out for us. And I was just thinking again, as I have done several times over my life, of how grateful I am for the legacy of faith that has been passed on to me. It's from my grandfather, both grandfathers, to my father, my parents, and then to me. And I'm doing my very best to hand that on to my kids as well. My wife is the same way. We both come from a line of ministers and missionaries, and so it has been something that I see as an enormous blessing in my life.
And you also have an interesting story with your grandpa. If you don't mind sharing that, I would love for you to share. Yeah.
And I was even talking to some of my cousins today just to make sure I had the details right. But it was something that I didn't really hear much as a young lad, and then didn't really understand the kind of the impact of it. But my grandparents, Grandma and Grandpa Kerr, were missionaries in Argentina. They took a boat down to Argentina from Canada in the 1940s and started a Bible college there. And some of the young people that they had an impact on and led to the Lord, one of whom I think probably in his early teen years was a gentleman named Luis Palau, who is an evangelist now, and I was reading more and more about him and the impact that he has had doing evangelist rallies. So I thought that was a pretty cool story that my grandfather was involved in leading Luis Palau to the Lord, and that's a pretty fantastic story that I like to tell my kids.
And you should. I mean, Jeff, we've had Luis on the show. We've had his son Andrew on probably 10 times, and his wife Pat on before, and his son Kevin. We love the Palau family. And what God has done through that family is just nothing short of a miracle. And I think of that your grandparents had the courage and the guts to take a boat to Argentina to serve and respond to the call of God. I mean, absolutely amazing. But, you know, I've been thinking of, I think it's Christy's dad, and that, you know, you guys are planting this church, but her dad is serving sort of voluntarily on staff, so to speak. I might be getting this wrong, but just ministering to the people and caring for the souls of those who attend your church as well, right?
Absolutely. It has been such an honor to have Christy's parents come along with us and help us in planting this church. You know, Roger Lane has a great track record of ministry behind him, and talking about legacy of faith, certainly he is involved in that with our family. And he's come alongside, and he is just such a natural discipler of people and connector and such a warm, engaging personality. And we'll get calls. I'll get a call from him almost every week saying, hey, I went to lunch with this person from the church. I took this guy out for coffee this morning, and here's what God's doing in his life. And as a pastor, for me, as a church planter, you know, we've got our hands involved in so many things, and it's tough to get to everything most weeks, but to hear stories like that of how Roger Lane is connecting with guys in our church, discipling people, meeting with these young men in our church who are probably the first generation believer in their future legacy of faith, and to hear how Roger is pouring into them is just a huge honor and blessing to have them involved with us.
And the ripple effect continues, Jeff, because I just think of how you're sowing into your kids. Christy's dad is sowing into the people in your church who are first generation Christians, and the story goes on. And that's the kingdom moving forward, isn't it?
I love it. I mean, I see that, and the quote that you gave from Beth Moore just a few minutes ago about between a generation that doesn't believe and a generation that does is one person who chose to make that decision. And I think of my Grandpa Kerr, who his father was not a nice Christian man, and my Grandpa Kerr at a young age had another man come into his life and just kind of pour into him and mentor him and lead him to the Lord, and how that changed. I mean, that changed generations, and you read in the Old Testament, you've been reading some of those scriptures today about how there is ramifications, good and bad, and how that decision from my grandfather and this person that mentored him has still, like you said, ripple effects that are blessing my family and my kids and their kids, and that is amazing, amazing to think of. And I want to reiterate what you were saying to maybe some of your listeners who maybe are a first-generation believer, that they are now the person that is going to be kind of the starting point of that legacy, where their kids and grandkids will look back to them and say, my grandfather or my grandmother way back when made a decision to follow Jesus, and look at how it has impacted, changed our family.
Wow, what a good, good word. Well, Jeff, we appreciate you and Christy and all that you do. You're such amazing kingdom people. I know you're a busy guy. Thank you for taking time to pour into our listeners today.
Absolutely. It was wonderful to spend time with you. Thanks for having me.
Love you, buddy. Bless you. So, so good. So, Linda, is that not an amazing story?
Yes, I love it. I love it.
And you think of... Go ahead.
I was just going to say, it made me think of my chapter 14 in the book where I talk about creating a new legacy. And I was noticing that in that chapter, I referred to Jonathan Edwards, and I don't know if you've ever heard that contrast with the guy named Max Jutes, who was traced through the prison system. But Jonathan Edwards, of course, he left a godly legacy. He was a Puritan preacher back in the 1700s. But out of his legacy came a U.S. vice president, three U.S. senators, three governors, three mayors, 13 college presidents, 30 judges, 65 college professors, 80 public service office holders, 100 lawyers, and 100 missionaries.
Hmm.
But by contrast, when they did the Max Jukes, descendants, those included 7 murderers, 60 thieves, 50 women of debauchery, 130 other convicts, 310 professional paupers.
Amazing.
400 descendants who were physically wrecked by indulgent living, and it was estimated that his descendants cost the state more than
$1,250,000.
Wow. So isn't that interesting to see? I was thinking of this testimony, you know, it's kind of lengthy, but it was really worth sharing because it's so contrast those two and confirms what he was sharing. It's just so powerful.
Hmm. Boy, when you think about the power of somebody's choice, when the power of somebody putting their foot down saying, you know what, it stops with me, no more. I mean, this is going to be a game-changing generation. And Jeff's story just speaks to that. And I think of the ripple effect of the ministry, because when you become a kingdom person, you're not just sowing seeds in your family, you're sowing seeds in your community or whatever the call of God is, and the fruit springs up and people's lives are changed. I mean, this is why our call matters so deeply. And it's for freedom that he set us free. You made this caveat in the book. I want you to just talk about this here for a moment, that when we encounter troubles and that habits are just difficult to break because they've run so long in the family line, that this is not God punishing us for the sins of our ancestors. Maybe clarify that point if you would.
Yes. And in fact, the reason that the Lord wants us to understand these things is so he can show us a way out. You know, his way was always one of blessing. God, curses are not God's ways. Those are a result of the enemy and the choices of man that are against the principles and concepts of God that just naturally, you know, it's like overeating. You were talking about overeating a minute ago. If you overeat, you gain weight. You know, there's always the consequence of that. It's the same way. It's just built into human nature. But God's way is one of freedom. He wants, you know, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. So what we're really doing is exchanging the negative things for the God things, and we call it a divine exchange when we do freedom. You know, I'm going to take away the chaos and the confusion and ask for God to give us his peace to replace that. So God's way is always one of blessing, and the enemy's way is one of cursing, and that's very clear in Scripture.
So speak to that person listening today who can maybe identify some pretty obvious things, propensities and bents that have been handed down through the generations that they want to stop, but it feels like a thick root system. What would be some first steps for them?
Well, one of the things we always emphasize is this is not, most of the time, I won't say all the time, but most of the time, this is not a one-time prayer, but it's a process that we go through, and God leads us step by step through that process. So, you know, first of all, it's identifying that area that we know that's in opposition to God's word, and it's causing trouble in our lives. And once we've done that, we can begin to tap into those lies. And, you know, we invite the Holy Spirit to come and show us these things, because most of these things are so deeply embedded, we're not going to just figure it out, even though we like to try to. And you know, to some degree we can do that. But for the most part, we're going to identify those lies that we believe that have shaped our lives that are in opposition to God's word. And as we do that, we can begin to replace those with God's truth. And, you know, we'll just do things like have people just say, God, show me any lies that I've believed. And then ask the Lord to speak to their heart and say, what is the truth? Lord, what is the truth? Will you show me what is the truth? And it's just amazing the things that, you know, that people will come up with that the Lord speaks to them. And some people are not totally comfortable with that because it's new to them, but we all grow in hearing God throughout our lifetime. And the more we listen to him, the more we recognize his voice, the more familiar it becomes. And we want to renounce and let go and abandon any way of life that's in opposition to what God's way is, because God's ways are good and the enemy's ways are bad. And then we want to break the power of the enemy's hold. I don't know if this is new for some people. For some people, this is, you know, they've been doing this a long time. But sometimes we just have to say to the enemy, you know, God is greater than you. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And the enemy, you know, I've bowed down to you for a season in my life, but I'm drawing a line in the sand, like you just said. That time is over. And, Lord, I put you in charge of that area of my life. And I command the enemy to leave me alone. And I want God to be in charge of that area of my heart. You know, in Luke 10:19, the scripture tells us, it says, "Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." You know, some of this is just about authority, and it's about the enemy. Some of it's just about lies we believe that we need to come out of agreement with. And the more we're in the Word of God, the more that purifies our hearts, the more it reveals those things that God wants to change in our life and lead us through freedom. I think a lot of it's just learning those areas where we're not free, that we've not really recognized.
And when you absolutely. And, you know, scripture talks about the truth will set you free. He's the truth. He's the way, the truth, and the life. And his truth speaking to that lie will bring levels of freedom that you probably never thought were possible. And that's the thing, is it's for freedom that he set us free. He came to destroy the works of the devil. And so if that enemy has a hold on you, if he's lying to you and you're living in reaction to the lie, God wants to set you free so you can live in response to the truth. Talking to Linda Gotze today. Got a few copies of her book, Origins, How the Choices of Your Ancestors Affect You Today. If you've got questions or you want to be in on the drawing, just email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. Susie@myfaithradio.com. And don't forget to leave your mailing address. That's so helpful. We'll talk in the next segment here, just a couple examples from Scripture of how generational tendencies were passed down. Then we're going to read Psalm 112. You're just going to be so blessed by that psalm. I'll have Linda comment on it as well. We'll be back in a minute. If you were to look over your shoulder and look at generations past in your family, what kinds of things have been handed down through your family line that you're not fond of? Is it, maybe it's exaggeration, maybe it's gluttony, and maybe it's just overconsumption, overspending, maybe it's a perfect appearance. We talked a little bit about that. No matter what, though, things have been handed down. We have tendencies that just by a mere association, because that's the culture we live in, and it's so tempting. There's more to it than that, but just saying, it's so tempting to say this sort of thing runs in our family. Maybe your family line, family of origin, just worried out loud all the time, and you're just constantly anxious and fearful because you just, that's what you constantly heard. Don't give into this thing too easily, because Jesus wants to set us free, and there is a way to get free. Talking to Linda Gotze today, title of her book, Origins, How the Choices of Your Ancestors Affect You Today. And with this last segment, Linda, would love to have you just share a story from Scripture, evidence sort of that how these things are passed down through the family line.
Well, I guess a really good one would probably be Nehemiah. You know, and if you remember, the Nehemiah, you know, was helping to build a wall in Jerusalem, and he had heard of the negative conditions in his country, and so he recognized that the sin of his forefathers had brought a curse over the land. And the Israelites had rebuilt the temple, but the gates around the city, you know, were still in disarray and destroyed, and they needed rebuilding. So I just think it's so interesting, the prayer that he prayed over the city, and he prayed on behalf of himself and his forefathers, although he had no part of what they did. But he recognized the significance. And listen at this prayer he prayed. He said, "We have sinned against you, Lord, and I and my father's house have sinned. We have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments nor the statutes or ordinances which you commanded your servant Moses." That's Nehemiah chapter 1, 6 through 9. And so here he recognized that the sin of the forefathers had brought this curse over the land. But he also recognized he could do something about it. That's what I love. He stepped in there and he repented on behalf of himself and on behalf of his ancestors. And that's what I always have people do when we realize that it's something that's come through the generations. You know, we can just say, "Lord, you know, I know that my ancestors didn't realize probably what they were doing, but Lord, I know that's influenced me, and I ask you, Father, to forgive them and forgive me. And Lord, I ask you to cleanse my bloodline of that particular sin or shortcoming or weakness, whatever that looks like. And Lord, help me to live according to your word in that area. I want to obey you." And you know something else, Susie, that I think is important that we've not really talked about? Generational iniquity is almost always, and I almost would say without exception, linked to idolatry in one form or another, because it's about having other gods and putting other things ahead of God almost always. So I think in consideration of the idolatry, that we need to always realize that it's something that we've given our hearts to. It's always about our heart.
So good. Okay, I'm going to read Psalm 112. And I just, friend listening today, I want you this just to wash over you and encourage you. And then afterward, Linda would love to have you comment on it. Psalm 112, "Praise the Lord. Happy are those who fear the Lord. Yes, happy are those who delight in doing what he commands. Their children will be successful everywhere. An entire generation of godly people will be blessed. They themselves will be wealthy, and their good deeds will never be forgotten. When darkness overtakes the godly, light will come bursting in." I love that. "They are generous, compassionate, and righteous. All goes well for those who are generous, who lend freely and conduct their business fairly. Such people will not be overcome by evil circumstances. Those who are righteous will be long remembered. They do not fear bad news. They confidently trust the Lord to care for them. They're confident and fearless and can face their foes triumphantly. They give generously to those in need. Their good deeds will never be forgotten. They will have influence and honor. The wicked will be infuriated when they see this. They will grind their teeth in anger. They will slink away with their hopes thwarted." Speak about that. Speak to that passage, if you would.
Well, I love this because this is showing the blessings of those who follow God versus the ones who don't. And all I can say as you read that passage, I just get excited because I want that for family. And I'm sure everyone listening does too. And it kind of confirms what I was saying earlier, that the heart of God is never to punish us because our parents made bad choices. It was always his intent to bless us and show us a way out of any of those consequences. And so he wants his children to be free. I was just looking at Isaiah 58:12 a minute ago, because that's one of my favorite passages. It says that those from among you shall build the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundations of many generations. And I remember early on when the Lord first taught me about generational iniquity, before I'd read anything about it, I had a vision of a house like out in the country. It was falling down. You know how the boards kind of fall off the house, the paint was peeling. And a bulldozer came and lifted that house off of its foundation, and underneath was mold and mildew and bugs and, you know, everything that you don't want to be around. And as that happened, the thing that I saw in that passage, as I was reading that passage at the time I had this vision, I saw that underneath that house was all of that cleanup work that needed to happen. And that's what the Lord said to me through the passage. He said, "Linda, there's cleanup work that needs to be done of you because of the choices that were made long before you were born. And, you know, you can't still carry some of that." And he wanted to do things in my heart. So much of it was about heart attitude, about the motives behind the things that I did, as well as the choices that I made. And I believe that, you know, I've been being healed in these areas for many years. And I know the freer I become, the more I realize I want to be as free as I can possibly be. And I think most of our listeners do too.
So do you feel that, that's a great story, do you feel that, let's say you identified fear or worry or something in your family line or rejection or whatever that is, and you do that prayer of release, of confession, of just serving and severing that tie, and let's say you start to see that thing creep up again, how do you deal with it?
Well, sometimes when it creeps up again, I mean, a lot of times it just does anyway, because, you know, we live life and things happen. But sometimes there's a root system there that we've not quite cut that root system out. And for me, I always go for the roots, because I believe that if we get to the root system of where did that come in, where did that all get started, a lot of times, you know, even though we may have inherited that nature through our DNA, there's something that ignited that in our life maybe early on. And so a lot of times I'll say, Lord, will you show me the first time I ever felt fear? Or, Lord, where did that, maybe I might say, Lord, where did that come in? And a lot of times he'll take me to a memory, and I may need to forgive a teacher that treated me badly and made me afraid. And I may need to ask the Lord to heal my heart there and let me feel his presence in that area of my heart so I know that he's with me. Because I've grown up thinking he wasn't with me, so therefore I am fearing, because perfect love casts out fear. So if we're experiencing the perfect love of God, we're not fearing. So the Lord told me one time, he said, Linda, you only fear in those areas where you don't know my love, where you don't know me. And I found that to be true.
Wow.
So I just think the root system is so important, but at the same time, that doesn't mean we're not going to have times we fear in our life. And we just go to the Lord and say, Lord, I ask you to replace that fear with your love, and let me have a sense of your peace there in that place. And sometimes there's more to it, you know. Sometimes there can be a little more work to be done, but that's generally what I do.
Yeah. And that might be the advice you need today as you're listening to, just in your private time of prayer, to say, Lord, when did this first come into me? When did it first, you know, get to me? And God is so wise and so gentle. He will lead you in the way that you should go, and he will lead you to a place of freedom. That's his intent. He loves you that much. Linda, as we wrap, I'm wondering if you would pray for that person for whom this is maybe new information, but they want to be that game-changing generation, want to be the one that says it stops with me. Would you pray for that person?
Sure.
Are you able
Heavenly Father?
Go ahead.
Heavenly Father, we want to be a recipient of your blessings. And Lord, we want to follow you completely with our hearts. So Lord, I ask you to cleanse my heart of any wrong attitudes. And Lord, reveal any wrong patterns, any lies that I believed. And Lord, as you do that, I ask you to cleanse my heart. Father, I bring those things to the cross today. Lord, I also ask your forgiveness on behalf of my family of origin that made some wrong choices, maybe wrong decisions. And whoever's listening, name those specifically as we cover that. Bring those to the cross today. Lord, I also ask you to release me from the consequences of those sins or curses or wrong choices. Father, today we receive and appropriate what you've already done on the cross, what you finished, and we choose to walk in obedience to you. Lord, we receive your blessing. We receive your presence in our life. Lord, we want to leave a good heritage and a good legacy to our children as well and all of our future descendants. So, Father, empower us to do that, even as you heal our hearts. We pray that that will flow to our families in Jesus' name.
Amen. Don't go away. Hour 2 is up next.